With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and joining me as ever is Mr. Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello, and good evening, listeners.
Or good morning.
I'm only speaking to people who are watching in the evening.
And I'm listening only speaking to people who are listening to this over breakfast.
Oh, well. Well. That says a lot about us.
It does.
I've seen a film.
Okay, you've seen a film.
Yeah, because that's what this podcast is about.
We're going to basically be talking about films. Marek and I do very little preparation to keep it as fresh and real as it always is.
I mean, this has been probably one that, over the history of our 200 podcasts, that was probably one of the worst starts to a podcast.
I don't know. I mean, there have been some terrible stumbling starts in this podcast over the years.
That's probably in the worst fight. So if you listen to this the first time, you think, I mean, they've clearly not even bothered to edit that start. They don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I already hate them. And they've already
segregated. I don't even know if they like films.
They've segregated us into people, morning people and evening people.
What about us people listening in the middle of the day? Bang on midday.
We feel like arseholes.
And the We Feel Like Arseholes t-shirts will be available on our Redbubble page very soon.
Yeah.
You've seen a film.
Yeah, a lot of people recommended this film, saying, and it got a lot of buzz around it when it came out. It's a sort of teenage horror film. It's called It Follows, which came out.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Because we've had, I think It Follows is probably the film that the most people have written to us telling us to watch it. Of the entirety of Film Fandango, I'm pretty sure.
A lot of people were pleasantly surprised by it.
Yeah.
The thing is, whenever you never really get to understand the nuances of any horror film from the trailers you see.
No.
Because all horror film trailers are pretty much formulaic.
Yeah, it's like, something's going to happen. It's happening. Title.
Yeah, the pace is exactly the same.
Yeah.
They're all, it's very rare you watch a horror film that's trailers anything but that.
There was one good one I remember, and I never saw the film, so it can't have worked. But was it called The Conjuring or something with a mother playing a game where they have to clap to say where they are, like a game of Marco Polo, and yes, she's blindfolded.
Yes.
And there's something else in the house clapping.
They're the ghost hunter people, yeah.
Yeah.
I think if it's a small story within the trailer.
Yes.
I thought the best trailer I've seen, which the film didn't match, as I banged on it before, the American Sniper trailer was, I think, one of the best trailers of the last 2 or 3 years.
Because it's about a man and his plastic baby, isn't it?
The actual film was about a man and a plastic baby, but the trailer's about him trying to decide where he was going to shoot
a child. Or not.
It's one scene, so it's a brilliant scene. Just do that. We talked about before, a separate scene.
Yeah.
Which shows the. Anyway, so It Follows is written and directed by David Robert Mitchell. If your name's David Mitchell, you're either a really good writer.
Yeah, a really good comedian. Or a good panel show.
Or a good director. So if your surname's Mitchell, you call your kid David.
It's not just Mitchells, you know, it's pretty much all Davids.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so David, not the Mitchell thing.
That's right, yeah, it's all Davids, the talented and wonderful people who are going to be successful one day. One day.
Oh, so, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, there you go.
What is it about? It is that classic sort of, you know, all horror films seem to, American horror films, a teenage, ever since Halloween.
Teenage girl?
Teenage girl. And what it is, she, there might be a few spoilers here. Well, I don't think they're already, that she, the monster in this film, is something, it's almost like a sexually transmitted disease.
Okay.
That if you have sex with someone,
yeah,
then the monster, you then become the target, the new target of that monster.
I mean, that is sort of classic horror, isn't it? Of the horror being an allegory for promiscuous sex. I mean, it's what vampires always were.
Well, that's what Dracula.
Yeah.
It was, I read a brilliant essay called Kiss Me With Those Red Lips when I studied English. Yeah, sorry, I'm an arsehole. I had English lit at university, and one of the best bits we read about Bram Stoker's Dracula. And someone wrote that vampirism was, they thought, because Oscar Wilde had an affair with Bram Stoker's wife, or something happened.
Wow.
And Bram Stoker was really homophobic, because he knew about Oscar Wilde as being sort of, you know, bisexual and a bit, and, you know, gay.
Yeah.
So the whole vampirism was basically homophobia, and it was homosexuality.
So Dracula was Oscar Wilde?
Well, it was just a sort of an allegory for
Oscar Wilde.
Bumming.
Okay, for bumming.
I mean, that might not be what the essay said. But that is, I mean, through the Chinese whispers of my mind,
yes,
it was an essay which has been all, you know, this is riddled with then alcohol and, yeah, from about, this is 18 years ago.
Sure. But, I mean, put that through the filter of time and American culture, and it becomes sexy teenage virgin is now the person who is always chased by axe-wielding men, isn't it? I mean,
yeah. It does play... It's very aware of the history of horror, this film. And
no bad thing?
It is. It's just, you know when you watch the first 10 minutes of a film?
Yeah.
And this is good.
Okay.
It's just good. They've got the tone right. The actors, the main actress called Micah Monroe, she's brilliant, and she's got her friends. It's got all the sort of tropes of it, but of horror, but it feels really fresh in the way it's filmed.
Okay.
And the key thing for me was the soundtrack is semi-John Carpenter, sort of 80s. So you feel you're watching his 80s film, because the music...
Sort of synthesizers and
stuff. Sort of synthesizers and just odd, sort of quite simple, plinky-plonky things.
Okay.
And just the way it was... and the idea is so simple, is that this... You have sex with someone, you become the target of the monster, and the monster is... it's not really spoiled. It's just someone slowly walking towards you. It takes the form of someone you know, or can take another form, and it's always sort of generally wearing
that's
white.
Brilliant.
And it just walks towards you, and when it gets to you,
you're dead.
Yeah, so you've got to start.
So if once you've got the It Follows virus,
you have to.
Does the person who had sex with you no longer have it?
They pass it on. This sort of explained this. I think it's explained in the trailer. But if they die, it goes back to you again.
Ah.
So you've got to bang as many people.
God, but then that's sort of that's death banging, isn't it? You become the death banger. So you're a monster in and of yourself. That's clever.
It's such a simple premise, but the idea itself of the whole it being associated with like an STD sort of thing. As well as the monster being, it just walks, but it's constantly walking towards you.
I think slower things are more frightening than fast things.
Yeah, it's and it just goes through, and it's explained really, really well. The idea is really neat and clear. The actors are really good. All the shots are really nice. It's sort of set around. They're in a place just near Detroit. It might be Ann Arbor, somewhere like that, a richer sort of place. And it's sort of set around there. It's quite normal. They're not overly big characters. They're really believable characters. So you suddenly, they're quite nice. They're likable as well for teenagers. They've got this unique. They establish their characters really well. It's a really well done horror film where you've got the right, good direction, good script, great casting, great music, and it's not necessarily doing anything really groundbreaking, but it's doing everything that in horror really well. And it feels, and I do think that making it feel like it's an 80s film and making that no sort of big, sort of huge, really big music, just having that weird 80s soundtrack and the look of Detroit and sort of the way you feel like you're in this town, the same feel of the sort of weird suburbs that you do get in Halloween a little bit, you know. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. I give it 8 Marics, and I think for a great original take on old ideas, a really refreshing horror film, and it deserves the plaudits it gets. I mean, it's not hugely groundbreaking, but I just thought everything about
but
it was
not,
good.
You don't have to be. I mean, sticking to a genre and doing it brilliantly, but still adding something new to it, but sticking well within what a genre is some of the best films are done that way. Not everything needs to be redefining stuff.
It's much more quirky than the trailer.
Right.
Because the trailer, I always thought, should I watch that? People were saying, good, is it just going to be this sort of screamy horror film?
Yeah.
I was put off it because it was teenagers. I was put off it because, you know, the sort of monster thing, you think, it's going to be the same old crappy horror film. But it's a lot slower.
Yeah.
It's got a lot slower film, feel to it.
I mean, there's a few horror films that I've thought have been interesting, you know, that I've gone, oh no, these deserve to sort of be held onto and watched again and again and sort of passed on, you know. The Babadook was really fun and interesting and felt contemporary, even though it was doing, you know, lots of what we've seen before. And another one, not that recent, but Drag Me to Hell, I thought was phenomenal as well. Sam Raimi film of both, you don't know if the next bit will be funny or scary, and that just puts you up on edge more, you know. It just brilliant.
I thought it was better than the Babadook.
The Babadook's not quite up there as, you know, a sort of perfect classic, but fantastic. I mean, thank you everyone who suggested It Follows.
So someone's written on our Facebook page.
What do they want?
It's a friend of the show, Mark Bell.
Mark Bell.
And Mark's written in. Mark often writes in, tells you what films you watch. He came to see an Edinburgh show I did in 2012.
Right.
And he brought a bag in and sat within the front row of the audience. And I proceeded to ask him through the show what was in his bag and make out he was a weirdo.
Yeah.
And there was a bag inside his bag that he bought. And that became a big joke for the whole show.
Okay.
And ever since then, we've had a dialogue on Facebook about what is in
his bag.
His bag.
So what was in the bag that was in the bag?
I didn't ask. I didn't get that far.
Wow.
No, that's really meta.
Another bag.
Well, so now if you ever hear from Mark Bell, we've got an ongoing catchphrase, what's in the bag?
Bagman Bell.
Okay. And he goes to see lots of films. He's a good supporter of the podcast and of Wolfsball as well.
Your new sport.
My new sport, which is the standards, cost me £1,000. Let's not even talk about that. Okay. He says, I watched Age of Adeline last night. It was good, but it had a weird voiceover in parts. For some reason, I kept on thinking of John Bunnell or some crap Discovery Channel UFO doc. It's just how they've tried to put some bullshit science behind it to explain why she doesn't age, and the voiceover makes it worse. Apart from that, it was an okay chick flick. P.S. Not my choice of film. If you do watch the film, when talking about it, you need to do it like John Bunnell. I don't really know who John Bunnell is. He's a sheriff in something or other. But Age of Adeline, that's quite interesting because it's the voiceover thing we talked about before.
Yeah, where it always feels like a crowbarring in that you suddenly panic, don't trust your audience and think they won't get it. So you add the protagonist doing a voiceover over the top. It's the Blade Runnering of it. I don't know if I talked about it, but I saw the original cut of Blade Runner recently. And it is atrocious.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Harrison Ford sounds like he doesn't want to be there in the booth. The lines are regular enough to annoy you, but not regular enough to feel like part of the film. They just suddenly, just by the time you've forgotten there was a voiceover in this, it comes in again and takes you out of the moment
again. I love Blade Runner. I can't believe it. A lot of people say, though, that they find Blade Runner boring.
I love Blade Runner. I think it's great.
I think it's really super. I think it's nice.
I'm reading Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep at the moment that it's based on, and it's nothing like it. It's absolutely nothing like it. Deckard does his work because he's basically a sort of suburban middle class man who him and his wife want a real sheep. Because all people with any social status have real animals, and their real sheep died, and they've had an electric sheep on the roof, and none of the neighbours know. And so he's trying to save up enough money by killing replicants to buy a real sheep. And that's his motivation.
Wow.
And he's a bit of a dickhead. He's a bit of a sort of sad, middle-class, middle-aged loser.
Sounds a bit like me. So you've seen a documentary, which I've also heard is good.
I've seen a documentary called Next Goal Wins.
Tell me about it.
A friend of mine who is a sports journalist recommended this to me. And
Gary Lineker?
That's right, you know him.
He's sporting a beard these days, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Well, he hides his Walker's crisps in it.
Oh!
Little insider secret. No, it wasn't. It wasn't Gary Lineker. Next Goal Wins. This is about the American Samoan national football team, as in soccer, not as in American football. And they, for years and years, have been bottom ranking in the international rankings of national football teams. American Samoa. If you don't know much about American Samoa, it is a tiny country that is technically run by the United States. They have military bases there, and a huge number of Native American Samoans sign up for military service and fight for the USA. But it's not technically a state. They can't vote for who's president. So they're basically just sort of owned by America. But they culturally, they're incredibly sort of compassionate and community-spirited, very religious people as well.
Sorry, I apologise. I'm pouring coffee in the background. It's really unprofessional.
Having a little wee.
It does sound like I'm weeing, but I apologise for that, and I apologise.
That's quite all right. But American Samoa, they're very optimistic people. But the beginning of this film is showing the match where famously they broke the record for the worst defeat in World Cup history.
What's the population there they've got to choose from?
It's a good question, and I don't know off the top of my head. Let me just look that up. But the worst defeat in World Cup history was in a qualifying match against Australia, and American Samoa lost 31-0.
That's one goal every 3 minutes.
It's incredible.
It's almost the time it takes to do a goal. If you've got a goalkeeper who's going to deliver, you know, from kickoff.
Well, the goalkeeper is a character in this documentary, and
he's not the same. He must. One he let 31 goals in.
Yeah, it's the same guy, and they bring him back out of retirement because he retired after that. He couldn't take it anymore, and because
he's got one arm or something.
It's not his fault because they were playing against international standard teams when they're basically like a village team. Really,
yeah.
They have a population of 55,000. American Samoa, so it's not a lot at all. So this guy, he's fascinating because he's like been playing Pro Evo ever since like Australia versus American Samoa, just trying to exorcise the demons.
The goalkeeper,
yeah. And you see him at home playing it and stuff. And they bring him out of retirement because he's going to want victory more than anyone else. He just wants another game. Anyway, the thing that kicks off this documentary is American Samoa is just, their football team is so just like downhearted, morale is rock bottom and all of this. And they bring in this Dutch coach to turn the team around. And I won't tell you what happens because, as with all documentaries, they make it seem like a sports movie as much as they possibly can. But they've still got reality to contend with what actually happens. He's called Thomas Rongen, anyway, the Dutch guy, who's a brilliant character, just so larger than life, and he wasn't a footballer, and then he never played for Holland though, and so you know we don't know who he is, but he just has such a great attitude of coming into this very close knit American Samoan community and trying to turn them into a football team that can compete internationally.
Is it like Rocky then?
Sort of.
Is it funny?
It is. It's wonderfully charming and, you know, lovely. There is a transgender footballer on their team as well.
Oh, I bet the documentary maker loved that when he found out.
Well, but he is, is the first transgender player to play in an international match.
Could you have... I've always wondered, you know, there's been stories about if you've got a small population...
I don't think he's post-op.
Is football World Cup qualifying, some of that, is it gender specific? So can I have Say you,
don't think you're allowed a woman in your team. I don't think
that's
you
not
are.
Fair. Then if you're allowed transgender, but you're
well, he's not. He's not post-op, so he is. Oh, okay. He is biologically a man, but he lives as a woman, and they call. It's complicated, but it's just sort of nice that it's not even an issue for anyone in the team or anyone, you know, in American Samoa. It's something their culture or understands and has done for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And that's sort of quite refreshing as well. Just like, yeah, it's just this thing. It's a lovely document. It's great. It's great. It's really exciting. You really feel for them because they are bollocks at football. I mean, they all love it and they give up. They're all amateurs, you know. They go to their day jobs and every evening they spend, you know, and he really wants to get them to win and get you drive it, and it's just it's passion and heart. It is pure, just documentary.
Where can you find it? Is it on any?
I watched it on. I talked about it last week, but on it's one of the films I saw on the plane. So
okay,
I don't know
cool.
where you could track it down now. I'm sure it's available.
Was that last year? Wasn't it? I think also, I don't know.
Usually,
right?
When things become available on streaming services, they are on aeroplanes at the same time. So it was out in 2014. Yeah, in cinemas, but I heartily recommend it. I think I'd give it 7 or 8 Davids. It's great fun. It's
two
really
good
fun.
Films.
Yeah, yeah. Well, is that enough? Is that enough? For,
yeah, why not? If you want to help the podcast keep going, you can donate. On filmfandango.co.uk, and then all the money goes towards us going to the cinema.
Yeah. That's it.
And sound equipment.
Yeah, all of that. Batteries, you know, cups of coffee.
And a potato.
A potato for Buddy to keep him quiet.
And the Buddy potato.
The Buddy potato.
And thank you very much to anyone who's donated. It's very much appreciated.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very, very much. Well, that's it for this week.
Well, we're running out of emails. It'd be great if someone emailed in.
Yes, please do email in if you'd like to recommend a film you've seen, as obscure or regular blockbuster as you like. Just do please email us dearfilmfandango@gmail.com and we'll read your email out on the show. We'll be back next week.
Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.